Ways and Means Committee, Friday, June 22nd, to order. Got a bunch of bills, so we'll try and get through things. Apologize for the lateness of the delivery of some of the bills. If you have any questions, please feel free to bring them up. But it is the end of session, and this is an unusual practice, albeit hopefully less onerous than we've had in the past, since we got most of our key budget bills out in advance. We have one more left to be reported, got reported out of subcommittee, one more for the full to consider, and that's Senate Bill 5508, the Economic and Community Development Department's budget. Senator Johnson, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5508 is the budget bill for the Economic and Community Development Department. The agency administers programs that aid businesses and communities and includes the Arts Commission and pass-through funds for the Film and Video Office. The budget is an increase of $23.5 million general fund and lottery funds and five positions, 7.34 FTE, above the 2005-07 legislatively approved budget. This is an increase of 22%. The total budget is a reduction of $67.9 million from the legislatively approved budget, primarily as a result of reductions in non-limited other funds that deleted $46 million for one-time bond proceeds and other technical adjustments. The budget includes $27.7 million in lottery funds for requests in the governor's budget. This includes $22.9 million for the innovation economy, $1.5 million for workforce investment, and $2.3 million for small business development centers. $4.7 million lottery funds in legislatively directed funding, including $2 million to the regional economic development boards to develop prioritized infrastructure and needs and issues lists, and $1.4 million for services targeted to the minority communities. And last, $1.9 million general funds to the Arts Commission to increase the capacity of Oregon's arts, culture, and creative sector. The budget includes a number of budget notes designed to improve legislative oversight of the department and its programs and outcomes. The Economic and Community Development Commission is directed to identify performance goals for grant and loan programs, to develop a statistically valid and auditable methodology for tracking its programs, and to report to the legislature in February of 2008. Funding for targeted service providers and small business development centers is tied to performance contracts. The regional economic development boards are directed to develop prioritized needs and issues and infrastructure lists, and the commission is expected to develop statewide priorities based on regional priorities. The subcommittee expects that requests for future infrastructure development bonding will be tied to statewide priorities established by the commission. The Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee recommends that Senate Bill 5508 be amended and reported out due pass as amended. And as the chair of the sub, Mr. Co-Chair, I would like to thank the agency for their help in developing the budget.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion. Objections. Seeing none, good work. Approved. Other bills reported out of subcommittee. House Bill 2034 relating to residency requirements for documents issued by ODOT. Representative Shields, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 2034 expands exemption from Oregon car title, car registration, driver's license, and driver permit requirements to include those that have been a resident of Oregon for less than 30 days. Changes reference regarding driving privileges for non-residents from privileges granted by the home jurisdiction of the person to out-of-state license or driver permit. The Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee recommends House Bill 2034 report be reported out due pass.
Thank you, Representative. Discussion. Objections. Seeing none, so ordered. House Bill 2269A related to motor vehicle registration plates. Again, Representative Shields, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 2269 was referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means from the Senate Committee on Business, Transportation, and Workforce Development. The measure creates a license plate issuance surcharge of $10 per plate and authorizes issuance of highway user tax bonds of up to $200 million with a maturity of not more than 20 years. The measure also requires at least 10% of the proceeds be spent in each of five regions and at least 10% be allocated to secure right-of-way for projects of statewide significance. In addition, the bill directs the Oregon Department of Transportation to take $1 of the $10 per plate surcharge and distribute 40% to cities and 60% to counties. The measure addresses congestion relief for smaller-scale critical road projects, 5 $5 to $8 million on a regional basis. Most or all of the projects have already been identified by local area commissions on transportation and have been applied for in the statewide transportation improvement plan, but have no funding. The fiscal impact anticipates issuing bonds totaling $112 million plus bond issuance costs. Debt service in the 2007-09 biennium is estimated to be $10.6 million on 20-year tax-exempt bonds. The subcommittee approved an amendment to add $75 million expenditure limitation for anticipated contract payments from proceeds of the bonds during the biennium and $10.6 million for debt service and issuance costs. I move House Bill 2269 be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you, Representative. Discussion. Objections? We've got Representative Garrard, Representative Jensen, Representative Hanna, and Representative Morgan. Seeing no others, motion carries. House Bill 2748, relating to driving while under the influence of intoxicants. Representative Hanna, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 2740 creates a new Class A felony of aggravated vehicular homicide for a person who, while driving under the influence, kills another individual and the driver has previously killed someone while operating a vehicle under the influence. The mandatory minimum sentence for this new crime is 240 months. First-degree manslaughter and the first-degree assault are also expanded to include a person who, while driving under the influence, kills someone and meets specific prior conditions. The bill makes it an affirmative defense if the defendant can prove that a prior conviction did not involve the use of intoxicants. The bill has a minimal fiscal impact for the next biennium and increases as the sentences of those guilty of the new crimes extend beyond their sentences under current law. The number of offenders sentenced under this new crime will be relatively small, estimated at only a few each biennia. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends House Bill 2740 be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you, Representative. Yes, discussion. Representative Shields.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I talked about this in committee, but good policy, in my view, is really about compromise in this building and meeting competing views halfway wherever possible. Senator Burdick and Representative Barker worked very hard on this bill to make it a better bill, and though I have a significant problem with mandatory minimum sentences because I think they shift too much of the power away from the judiciary into the prosecutor's hands and make due process a little bit more elusive, and they are also very expensive. Nonetheless, this is a compromise bill in respect for Senator Burdick and Representative Barker and the work that they put in. I was an aye vote, and the subcommittee will remain so, and will vote yes on the floor.
Thank you, sir. Further discussion? Seeing none, objection? Seeing none, motion carries. House Bill 2843, also relating to crime. Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 2843 creates Class A misdemeanor of furnishing sexually explicit material to a child and punishes by a maximum of 1 year's imprisonment, a $6,250 fine, or both, and creates a Class C felony of luring a minor punishable by a maximum of 5 years' imprisonment, a $125,000 fine, or both. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends House Bill 2843A be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you, Representative. Discussion. Representative Elizio.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'll be a yes on this, but reserve my right to change my vote, concerned about constitutional issues.
Thank you, sir. My fellow co-chair.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I've watched this bill as it's evolved, and I absolutely and enthusiastically support the objective that it is trying to accomplish. I also honor and respect all the work that legislators and other interested parties have put into the bill as it has evolved to this point, and particularly Senator Brown's good work on this bill. And it is not without very careful consideration that I am raised concerns that it still does not
satisfy constitutional concerns that I have, and in fact raises some significant constitutional concerns. And so at the moment, I cannot vote in favor of it.
Thank you. Further discussion? Yes, Representative Johnson, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Not having any previous exposure to this bill before today, I will have to look at the constitutional issue. I'll be yes today, but I will need to look at that and try to get an understanding of it. I don't believe in passing out anything that appears to be unconstitutional if there's, unless there's some other motive or incentive involved with it.
Very good. Thank you for your comments. Further discussion? Objections? Seeing none? Motion carries. Council Nolan. All right. Moving on here, we're going to actually return House Bill 3141 to the Capital Construction Sub for a little work and hopefully get it out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. House Bill 3233A. Objections to that? Seeing none, so ordered. The House Bill 3233 relating to sex offender treatment. Representative Shields, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 3233 establishes the Sex Offender Treatment Board to oversee the certification of sex offender therapists. The seven-member board will determine the qualifications for certification, establish standards of practice and responsibility, and adopt standards for training and continuing education. The bill specifies board membership, minimum requirements for certification, and disciplinary sanctions. Administrative and regulatory functions will be provided by the Oregon Health Licensing Agency. As amended, the bill clarifies the services provided by certified sex offender therapists, requires Senate confirmation of board members, and provides a one-time other funds expenditure limitation increase for the Oregon Health Licensing Agency to cover initial startup costs. Certification of sex offender therapists is expected to help reduce recidivism and increase community and victim safety. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends House Bill 3233 be amended and reported out to pass.
Representative, discussion. Senator Johnson.
A question to the carrier. The startup costs are $150,000. I just want to make sure I understood that correctly.
That is a good question. I don't have my bill file handy for the report up. Yes, that is correct, unless staff wants to correct me.
Thank you.
Questions? Discussion? Objections? Seeing none, so order. House Bill 3273, relating to motor carrier enforcement. Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 3273 would allow a waymaster or motor carrier enforcement officer to use warning lights or other signal for the purpose of stopping a driver of a commercial motor vehicle. In addition, the bill directs the Oregon Department of Transportation to provide training and education to motor carrier enforcement officers to safely stop and detain vehicles, establish a pilot project, and report back to the Legislative Assembly on the status and progress of the program. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends House Bill 3273 be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you, Representative. Discussion. Representative Johnson, please.
I think we're at the point in the session where we're being asked to provide courtesy votes for bills that some of us think are simply bad policy. This one is one such bill for me. I will provide a courtesy vote today, but absolutely retain my right to vote against this on the floor.
Chair appreciates that. Yes, Senator Bates, please.
Mr. Chair, I have the same concerns. I've actually had some involvement with this in Southern Oregon with the waymasters getting themselves in situations that they really didn't want to be in and weren't trained to be in. There's been a shortage of people they could call to help them when someone is driving recklessly or avoiding the scales. But with our beefing up of the state patrol, I'm wondering if this bill is really necessary. I really am concerned about putting these people in harm's way without proper training and proper equipment.
Good comment, sir. Let's go to Representative Jensen and Representative Edwards and
Yes, thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I want to share those comments again. This is a bill I haven't seen and looked at before, but I certainly have some questions about authorizing people to turn a red light on and stop folks without proper training, because as we know, many of the Many of these stops are stops not of somebody just in violation of, in this case, weight problems, but in violation of other laws. And I just have a safety concern there as far as these people are concerned. I will vote yesterday, but I reserve the right to, after looking at it more, vote no on
the floor. We did just get this. I appreciate that, sir.
Yes, Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Initially, I was concerned about the significant fiscal impact associated with this bill. I think the new fiscal is much more reasonable. However, I still have some lingering safety issue concerns, and I will be a courtesy yes vote in committee.
Thank you, sir. Now, Representative Nathanson, could you want to explain some things at all, perhaps?
I will just make a couple of quick points, because this is coming up pretty fast. The Waymasters, or motor carrier enforcement officers, have been doing this for approximately 30 years. The objective here is to allow that they would have the proper signal to protect public safety on the roads for themselves and other drivers as they are going about the job that they're already doing. And this also, a primary reason to have a fiscal with it is because this does set up a pilot project to provide the training and education that was of concern.
Thank you.
Through DPSST.
Thank you. Senator Westland, and then we'll go to Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've heard and understand some of the concerns expressed about this bill. But let's just maybe for the record clarify a few things. First of all, this isn't a pilot. There is a training component for these enforcement officers involved in the bill. There are three areas that I think should be looked at. One, most specifically, is Portland, that no longer has a truck enforcement team. In fact, there are no scales in this state on I-5 south to Woodburn. So heaven knows the amount of overweight and unsafe trucks that are running around not only Portland streets, but the freeway system in Portland. There's a revenue component to that on the enforcement. Representative Nathanson brought that to my attention just yesterday. There's also, I think, a good area in Woodburn itself, which represents a fairly urban and rural mix of traffic enforcement issues, and then Cascade Locks east to Arlington and certainly the 97 corridor. These are areas that are underserved by they're certainly underserved, but there is a decided lack of transportation knowledgeable enforcement specialists in these areas, and I think this is a very good bill, and some of the concerns that have been addressed here are addressed in the bill.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Hanna, I believe it.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I think contrary to what we heard, Representative Nathanson, they are not currently doing this service. And maybe we should get the staff to answer that question, but I do not believe they currently enforce speed violations, or do they pull vehicles over on the side of the road.
Clarification. Staff.
Chair Schrader, Representative Hanna, the DOJ provided a legal opinion in 2004 that said that the Waymasters and motor carrier enforcement officers should not be pulling folks over or commercial vehicles over. So since 2004, they have not been doing this activity.
Thank you.
Okay.
Follow up. So we did hear testimony that they're not doing that. Further, that we send the OSP officers through 16 weeks of basic training and additional training after that. The training recommended for these folks to become officers of the law that include numerous types of violations, including posted speed limits, aside from weight and mile issues. We're going to train them to do that in just 3 weeks. And to the fiscal piece of this, we're talking about, as described, a phased-in approach to train 20 motor carrier enforcement officers at a time at a cost of $2,800 per person, so $56,000 to train the first of that group. What's mentioned in the measure summary is $35,000 for the for the equipment piece, but keep in mind that does not include the vehicle equipped to do speed-related enforcement. So the major summary C with the equipment piece here is non-inclusive of equipping those vehicles to do that type of enforcement. I was a no in subcommittee. I will be today.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion? Seeing none, let's do a roll call vote on bill.
Representative Morgan?
No.
Representative Hannah?
No.
Representative Jensen?
Aye.
Representative Carr?
No.
Representative Galizio?
Aye.
Representative Shields?
Aye.
Representative Edwards?
Aye.
Vice Chair Nathanson?
Aye.
Co-Chair Nolan?
Aye.
Senator Brown?
Aye.
Senator Westland?
Aye.
Senator Courtney?
Yes.
Senator Johnson?
As a courtesy, yes.
And Senator Bates?
Courtesy, yes.
Senator Dublin?
Real yes. Real no.
Senator Nelson?
Real no.
Senator Richard?
No.
Senator Whitsitt?
No.
Co-Chair Schrader?
Aye. Motion carries. House Chair?
Yes, sir.
Can I change my eye to a strong eye?
Roy, drop the gavel.
Oh, thank you.
House Bill 3543, relating to climate change. Representative Nathanson, again.
House Bill 3543 sets greenhouse gas emissions reduction goals for Oregon. The bill also creates the Global Warming Commission. The commission will recommend ways to coordinate state and local efforts to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in Oregon, evaluate impacts caused by greenhouse gases and global warming, and work to identify incremental targets for the reduction of greenhouse gas emissions. The commission will also report to the Legislative Assembly on progress toward achievement of greenhouse gas emission goals. The bill also creates the Oregon Climate Change Research Institute within the Department of Higher Education. The Institute will facilitate research, serve as a climate change information clearinghouse, and assess the state of climate change science as it relates to impacts on Oregon. The subcommittee added $180,000 general fund to operate the Research Institute for the second year of the biennium. Your Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends that House Bill 3543 be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you, Representative. Appreciate that. Discussion, Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to state for the record that I appreciated that the co-chairs allowed me to take this back to committee. It came out in the morning. We found a problem with it that actually got the bill broader support. We were able to bring it back, amend it further, and I believe move it out of the committee. I believe unanimous.
I'm looking forward to changing the planet's global climate from Oregon. I think that's going to be interesting. Further discussion? Objection. A couple, two, three. I think we're all right. Motion carries. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, could...
Oh, we need the names. That was Garrard, Morgan, Nelson, Morris, and Whitsitt.
Usual.
Thank you. I'm sorry about that. Senate Bill 1, relating to state financial administration. Senator Westland.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senator Courtney has asked that I read this into the record. Senate Bill 1 provides funding to develop a grant program to provide seismic rehabilitation grants for public buildings. The 2005 legislature established the program in the Office of Emergency Management, and this bill provides the resources to develop that program. A grant committee consisting of state officials and others will direct and assist the staff in developing and administering the program. Grants are to be awarded to rehabilitate specific education and public safety buildings, including eligible hospitals, police and fire stations, schools, and higher education facilities. The Oregon Constitution authorizes the use of state general obligation bonds for this purpose, but none have been issued at this time. The subcommittee recommends appropriating $433,560 general fund for four positions and other costs for developing the grant program. Future legislative action will be required to issue the bonds for the actual grants and identify the resources to pay the bonds debt service. Your Public Safety Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 1 be amended and reported out. Do pass as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion. Senator Berger, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I just want to say that the study that was done showed over 40% of our schools that were in really dire circumstances, and we have to do better than that for our children. We must do something to prepare these schools so that our children will be safe in times of a crisis and an emergency, and so I appreciate very much this bill going forward.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Seeing none, objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 111A relating to use of physical force. Senator Westland again, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 111 makes a number of changes relating to the use of deadly force by law enforcement officers. This bill requires a plan prepared for each county which must be approved by governing authorities of the law enforcement agencies and the Attorney General. Also addressed in the bill are procedures for citizens to challenge the plans, the presentation of facts to grand juries regarding the use of deadly force, and the recording of grand jury proceedings. The bill provides $221,361 of general fund to the Department of Justice for a part-time position to review the plans and provide assistance to local governments in preparing the plans. Most of this funding for grants to local communities covers up to 75% of the cost of implementing and amending the plans. Counties can also be reimbursed for the cost of recording and transcribing the proceedings of grand juries. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 111 be amended and reported out and passed as amended. Thank you, Senator. Discussion?
Yes.
Senator Nelson, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I have four counties that I represent in, out of Eastern Oregon, and they look at this as an unfunded mandate, and they have more issues with derriere rather than deadly force by officers. So I'll be a no vote, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Further discussion. Senator Bates.
Kerry may not have the answer to this question, but what are the mechanisms going to be used to open up grand jury transcripts on these type of issues? I mean, we generally don't open up grand jury transcripts, is my understanding. That's why we have grand juries. They have an opportunity to discuss these issues without being open to the public.
Perhaps it would be best if staff add some clarifications. Mr. Wilson?
Or is this alleged counsel sort of discussion?
Judiciary staff or alleged counsel issue where I can look and get back to them.
Mr. Chair, I don't hold the proceedings that, but it's a pretty important point. Why don't I get back to it later? I'll give you a yes vote now and figure it out later.
All right. Okay.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Yes, Representative Shields.
We amended the bill at the request of the District Attorneys Association to make this bill permissive. So the district attorneys have control over whether or not the grand jury proceedings are made public.
Yeah. Thank you for clarification. Senator Johnson?
Thank you. I will be providing a courtesy vote.
Very good.
Yes, Senator Westland.
Mr. Chair, just for the record, I think it's important that the committee know that the police chiefs are neutral on this bill. The DA's association is neutral. There are certainly some DAs that are in full support. District Attorney Shrunkfoot and Dugan from my home county are in full support. The Sheriff's Association is neutral. And also, for the record, I think it's fair to say this information was just provided to me that the Officers Association's Officers Association opposes this bill. So there's a broad spectrum of law enforcement opinion on this bill, most of which is neutral.
Sounds like legislators. Senator Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I believe that it should be said that we all have such respect for people that get out of bed in the morning, get dressed, and go and protect all of us. And in every way, in every county and city in Oregon, they're working very hard in a very, very dangerous job. So I think this bill in no way has any shouldn't indicate to anyone that there's any lack of respect or trust or whatever in our law enforcement personnel. There are times that there's been a lot of concern, and the issue can be looked at, and people can certainly be better prepared. So I will offer a courtesy vote, and not that I wouldn't vote for it on this floor, but there are a couple of questions I'd like to pursue between now and the floor vote.
Very nice comments. Very appropriate comments. Yes, Representative Bluzio.
Yes, joining Senator Berger, Police Officers Association in my district and folks there have some significant concerns. So I'll be a courtesy yes and retain my right to oppose on the floor.
Thank you, sir. Representative Morgan, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I have concerns over the fiscal impact to this. I think that my district, like Senator Nelson's, is going to view this as an unfunded mandate. I also have huge concerns over changing the process around the grand juries, and I'll be an actual no vote on this.
Okay, very good. Further discussion? Seeing none objections, we've got Representative Garrard, Representative Jensen, Representative Hanna, Representative Morgan, we have Senator Whitsitt, and Senator Nelson. Motion carries. Senate Bill 282, relating to familial relationships of persons in juvenile systems. Senator Brown.
Thank you, Co-Chair. Senate Bill.
Nice to have you with us, Senator Brown.
I'm just absolutely delighted to be here. Thank you for the opportunity. Senate Bill 282 changes the legal definition of foster home to include a home maintained for a child by a person related by blood or marriage. The fiscal effect of the bill is to require the Department of Human Services to reimburse relative foster caregivers as they now reimburse other foster caregivers. Where appropriate, placement with relatives can provide improved outcomes for children in foster care, but some relatives are financially unable to care for the children without assistance. The Human Services Subcommittee considered the financial impact of the bill and approved language that would allow the department to consider the financial circumstances of relative foster caregivers as it sets reimbursement rates. The department's budget bill includes funding to begin relative foster caregiver reimbursements July of 2008 with an incomes means test at 150% of the federal poverty level. The subcommittee has encouraged the department to review its budget to determine the potential for an earlier start date or a more inclusive eligibility policy. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 282 be amended and reported out, be passed as amended. Colleagues, I just want to say thank you. This is truly a village passing a bill, and I really appreciate everyone's help. And Oregon will now join the rest of the states, but for one, in providing financial support to relative foster caregivers.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you for your work on this bill. Discussion. Representative Jensen.
Just simply about time.
Good comment, sir. Further discussion? Seeing none. Objections? Seeing none. So ordered. Senate Bill 334B, relating to student assistance. Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I think I have the privilege of reading the longest pony of the night, so be prepared. Senate Bill 334 changes statutes that govern the Oregon Opportunity Grant Program to allow the Oregon Student Assistance Commission, or OSAC, to implement the shared responsibility model. The Opportunity Grant is the state's primary student aid program and is funded in the OSAC budget. Students qualify for Opportunity Grants on the basis of financial need, and the grant is available to undergraduate students attending an Oregon Community College, OHSU, an Oregon University System Institution, or an Oregon private nonprofit college. Senate Bill 334 does not change any of these parameters of the Opportunity Grant Program, but it does require OSAC to restructure the program beginning in the second academic year of the 2007-2009 biennium. Currently, although award amounts are based on the cost of attending college, they do not vary by income level. This means that all full-time students receiving an opportunity grant at any particular institution receive exactly the same amount of financial aid from the state. Part-time students at that same institution receive half the amount awarded to full-time students. Under this bill, opportunity grant award amounts will vary by income level and family status instead of just varying with the institution attended. The bill requires the commission to apportion the cost of attending college into student, family, federal, and state shares, with the state share equal to the portion of the cost not covered by the other shares. Because family and federal shares will typically vary with income, the award amounts will vary with income also. This will allow funds to be targeted to those who need them most to remain in college. The Education Subcommittee noted that because it changes the calculation of opportunity grant award amounts, the cost of any proposed award structure under the shared responsibility model is uncertain. The subcommittee considered what actions OSAC could take if program costs differ from projections and amended the bill to provide legislative direction in these circumstances and in circumstances when legislative appropriations for the program differ from what the commission anticipated. The subcommittee prioritized policies and indicated that the commission should protect award levels for low-income students, but adjust award amounts if needed to avoid imposing application cutoff deadlines. Senate Bill 334 is an important component in this legislative session's efforts to expand access to higher education in this state, and your education subcommittee recommends that it be amended by the -B5 amendments and reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you, Representative. Discussion. Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Kocher. This is a program that I think we've been waiting for a long time. That it's very gratifying, the work that was done around assessing what actually are the expectations of the different funding components for a student that is going into higher education. We had, I think, a very robust discussion around the policy side of the bill in the education subcommittee, and we were centering on the potential for the model that developed the enrollment numbers to be not as accurate as it could be. There's a potential for around a 35% more students applying than there is money for them, and so the discussion was around how to maintain the integrity and the purpose of the shared responsibility model if there is a situation that develops where there's more applicants than there is money for it. And I think that the what we came out of that discussion was that this was an incredibly dynamic situation with a lot of variables, and it was very difficult for the committee to make any kind of pointed recommendations and put any kind of defined regulations around it. So we mostly just talked about the philosophy of the program, where what we thought was important about preserving and where we were hoping to see some elasticity. But I think that in the ultimate analysis, the most important thing here is for the communication between the commission and the legislature to be at a very high level and to be very frequent. There is a very large potential here for this program not to unfold in the way that's envisioned, and I think it would be very well for this group to keep a close eye on this as it's implemented.
Very much agree. Yes, Representative Polizio.
I think this makes the top five list of most important policy bills that comes out of this legislative session. Thank the co-chairs, the Education Ways and Means Subcommittee, and the Governor's Office.
Thank you, Representative. I'm hopeful that, if I may, Senator Devlin, please go ahead.
My good subcommittee chair forgot one person. That's Mr. Bender, who put up with us in all of our deliberations.
Yes, I appreciate Steve's work also. I think this is hopefully going to be a good bill. I agree with Representative Morgan. We want to keep our eye on this. We're going into somewhat uncharted waters. There's only one other state that's been as generous in making sure that every student in their state has an opportunity, potentially, to get an affordable education, no matter who you are, what age you are. Even middle-income people have an opportunity, and hopefully we can continue to fund this at acceptable level. I've been disturbed when I read the paper about all the death and devastation in our higher education system, and certainly there's a lot to lament over the last 6 years. I just wish students would get the understanding, get the message that, hey, we're adding back with great budgets, if I may say so, in the higher four-year institution budgets and the higher community college budgets, and now they can afford to go. They can afford to go, and I hope a lot of students begin to realize that in the next 2 to 4 years and take advantage. Well, we have to worry about how much money we put into the system, because we're going to have the most educated state in the union instead of one of the ones that struggles. Apologize for the editorial comment. Further discussion? Objections? Seeing none? So ordered. Very good. Sample 414, relating to placement of children, Senator Brown.
Thank you, Senator Schrader. Senate Bill 414 establishes new requirements regarding children placed in the guardianship or legal custody of the state. It requires the Department of Human Services to make diligent efforts to place siblings together if they must be removed from their home. It also requires the department to make diligent efforts to place children with relatives or caregivers. DHS is to report its efforts to the court, and the court must make written findings whether the department made diligent efforts. The court may also order visitation by parents or siblings, and DHS must develop and implement a visitation plan consistent with that order. DHS is required to document and report school attendance, caseworker face-to-face contacts, and parent or sibling visits. The bill also sets semi-annual as opposed to annual permanency court hearings for children for whom adoption has not been initiated. The bill would also amend Oregon statute to allow DHS to make foster care maintenance payments to for-profit agencies as required by federal law. The subcommittee heard testimony on the positive impact of the proposed changes on children and families in the child welfare system. It discussed the indeterminate impact of the diligent efforts requirement and the potential workload impact of the bill on the courts, Department of Human Services, and the Department of Justice. Funding for the tangible costs associated with the bill, increased attorney general time, and modifications to a database system are included in House Bill 5031, the DHS budget bill. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 414 be amended and reported out. Do pass as amended. Thank you. And again, this was certainly a whole village working on this bill.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion. Yes, Representative Shields.
Commend Senator Brown for a great work on this bill.
It's part of an important package you and many bipartisan group of House and Senators brought together to bring to this session, so I appreciate it too. Further discussion? Seeing none. Objections? Seeing none. So ordered. Senate Bill 632 relating to the state capitol. Senator Nelson, please.
This bill creates state capitol state park consisting of the grounds contiguous to the state capitol and the grounds surrounding the state office buildings on the Capitol Mall and places maintenance responsibilities with the Parks and Recreation Department. The bill is referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means for consideration for this fiscal impact. The Natural Resource Subcommittee approved an amendment adding $862,894 lottery fund expenditure limitations, five positions of which 3 3/4 are full-time, to the Parks and Recreation budget and reducing the Department Administration Service budget by $269,332 and 2.25 full-time employees there. The subcommittee noted the department has sufficient revenues to manage the state capital state park without impacting other programs of the agency. Committee recommends 622 be amended and report out due pass as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion. Representative Burrard.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. As we discovered in committee, this bill is really about porta potties around the Capitol. A good senator introduced the bill with that in mind. It was quite a discussion of porta potties, and we did pass this bill out unanimously, I believe.
Very good, Senator. Good hygiene is important. Further discussion. Objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Other business, Department of State Police. Mr. Westham, please.
Mr. Co-Chair, this is the one we're looking for. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends approving the submission of a federal grant application by the Oregon State Police and the Oregon Wireless Interoperability Network, or OWIN. The grant is for up to $6 million from the U.S. Department of Justice's Community-Oriented Policing Services Program. Grants must be used for technology focusing on data information sharing and enhancement of voice interoperability. The grant funds will be used to complete a new digital microwave system replacing mostly ODOT vintage equipment from the 60s. When completed, the system will provide a digital microwave loop linking Portland, Salem, Bend, and Pendleton. The grant receives a 25% match, which will be met with ODOT funds already set aside for the OWIN project. These grant funds should offset future state funding needs for OWIN. Your Public Safety Subcommittee recommends approval of the request, Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion. Objections? Seeing none, so ordered. I thank the committee again for excellent discussion, timely comments, the alacrity with which they move things through. That's very good. We'll have one more full committee meeting tomorrow. I can't give you a time. Probably mid-afternoon at the earliest would be my guess. And we have Capital Construction Sub. What time this evening would you guess, Mr. Rocco, sir?
Hopefully by 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. So those on the Capital Construction Sub report to this room at 8 o'clock. And then we'll have another one tomorrow morning prior to our last full committee meeting. Thank everyone for coming. We're adjourned.